Hello and welcome to a thrilling Thursday edition of the Colts Corner podcast. Shout out to my boy Lemons. It is quite thrilling. On the slate today, we'll talk a little Hills West basketball, boys and girls, recap especially from our broadcast. We'll talk wrestling, school wrestling as well, and some professional when we get there. We love you all and we're ready to go. We are back, and it's a full crew today. I'm Douglas DeDuca alongside Brian Flattow, Ben Dixon, Matty Gold. Pooj is in the building. No fencing today for the big man. And Mike Garafa is our producer, along with Pooj, of course. Marcus Frazier in studio today. You'll love to see that. Getting some new faces in here.
Enjoyed the soccer dinner last night, I'm sure. Everyone's wearing the jackets in school today. Definitely did.
I think the man deserves a better introduction. That's star soccer player, Marcus Frazier.
Star soccer player. And he was a huge contributor to the long run that they made. But that was the other season. We're into this season of sports. And we'll talk a little Hills West boys basketball. And we did do the live broadcast on that. That was very exciting.
Definitely a ton of fun. 87-59 win for the Colts over the Compsawag Warriors. Derek Brower, great game. 31 points, 6 assists. Also, helping us win a career game from Greg Gerin, 18 points. He was shooting the lights out.
And oh, yeah.
It was a spectacle, something to see.
We couldn't stop calling his name on that broadcast. Played excellent, couldn't miss from three.
Yeah, every single healthy player on the roster checked into the ball game, especially at the end. Very exciting. The bench was going crazy when some of the subs came in. It's great to see everyone get involved, especially in a blowout like that.
Yeah, when Sean McBride scored that bucket right at the end of the game, the bench was going nuts. You could see how happy everyone was for him. So it's great to see when the reserves get in the game and even get on the stat sheet with a point or two.
I was confronted today. I just want to give credit to Mataratona for telling us about the helps ID because he wanted credit for that. So you got to give credit where it's due. And I just wanted to do that. He gave us a nice packet as well on how to learn the helps ID. So maybe we'll have some more analysis for you in our next broadcast. But yeah, we just wanted to shout out Mataratona. Great guy. Love him.
It's a coaching legend right there from Hills West.
You know, back to the previous point, we talked to Spencer Weingart after the game talking about team camaraderie and how it was great for them to see all these people who don't normally get to play. You know, the crowd wanted James Loria. He eventually got in, almost hit a half-court shot. Very exciting to see that, especially in a game that we dominated from the beginning.
I like the extensive vocab there, Gold. Camaraderie. It's a great word. Don't ask me to spell it. It's an extensive word.
You could just see on the offensive side of the ball, it's like a track team out there. They're pushing the ball up and down the court. They want to get in transition, quickly move the ball, and make shots all day. And that's what they did. Wide open looks, especially for Greg Gerin, who was lights out from three. The guy made
four or five, something
multiple
crazy
threes
like that
were just beautiful, extending the lead. And Hills West never looked back.
Yeah, you're talking about that fast pace of play. Started off with Compsawag pressing us. We were able to quickly adjust, and our man defense shut them down. So good work on defense. You'll have to see only giving up 59 points. It's a great defensive effort, 32 minutes of play. So great help side defense by the Colts.
Yeah, so while that was going on in our gym over at Compsawag, the girls were playing, and they took a dub. 75-57 win. Sam Hinkie had 40 points in this game. I mention her name every time we do the girls. She's been scoring 25 plus points in four straight games or something like that. It's crazy. She's been doing excellent. That's now three straight wins for the Lady Colts over there, and they're rolling right now. And you really like it. And other top scorers in that game was Kayla Robertson. She had 16 points. You know, she's been balling out on the varsity. We had her on the show a while ago. Just great performances from the girls.
Yeah, a lot of talent on the girls basketball team. We're going to get out there, do a live broadcast of their game this Tuesday.
Tuesday here at the West Gym. That will be we'll be honoring Sam Hinkie, who scored. She's now over 1,000 points. But they're going to honor her for 1,000 points in her high school career. We'll be on the live broadcast for that. So don't forget to tune in. That's on our YouTube channel, West TV. You know, so check that out.
It's such a great milestone to reach. You know, we had Tori Harris do it. She was one of the legends here at West. I think she reached over 2,000 even. But, you know, Sam Hankey getting over 1,000. Crazy stat. Been on varsity for 4 years. You know, really takes leadership of the team.
Yeah, 31.8 points per game according to Newsday. I mean, that's just wild. That's a huge number to score night in and night out. Great effort from Sam Hankey.
At any level, and then high school nonetheless. Just overall great performance.
So Hills West boys and girls basketball are rolling. So we'll move over to a little wrestling recap. And they've been doing great all season. And the season finale is coming up Wednesday against Hills East. So you got some big names, Dylan Ryder, especially. He's done very well in his career at Hills West, and he'll look to continue, especially against a rival like Hills East.
You know, I talked to Ryder last year, did a big story on his accomplishments, two-time state champ, I think, at this point, and the work ethic that he has and the experience that he has, I think, will be a big factor in him going to continue this amazing run that he's had in wrestling.
So he has had ample success in the high school level. We will have the live broadcast, the last game, the last match for wrestling on Wednesday. So we're doing back-to-back, belly-to-belly on the YouTube channel live streams. We will be there, live coverage. We're excited. We heard that the gym lights are shut off, and it's just a spotlight on the middle ring. So that should be really interesting if you want to tune into that, learn a little bit about wrestling. We will have I believe we'll try and get some JV wrestlers on there to teach you guys about some moves or whatever they see, the point deductions. But we'll definitely have the live broadcast for you, and we're excited for that.
Their scoring system is definitely complex for the new watcher of wrestling.
And you know wrestling?
I've watched wrestling a little bit.
Okay, so you're the color. Oh, Matty Ice will be the color.
Yeah, Gold's an all-around guy. He knows, really? Knows a little bit about everything, you know?
He taught me about the soccer, the penalty foul thing. It's outstanding what Matty Gold is doing, writing articles, just churning them out.
You'll see him on
Workhorse.
ESPN 8, the Ocho one day, maybe.
Right. Following all these wild athletics and moving into a not-so-wild athletic, the NFL. You know, we mentioned some of the games this past week on the halftime show, if you will, the halftime podcast that we had. But I'm just going to start off with one that we already mentioned there. Doug, it's the Steelers losing to the Jaguars. What are your thoughts for those who weren't viewing the broadcast?
Well, I've said enough on that game. Disappointing and disgusting performance by the Steelers. Developing news out of that game, Todd Haley was fired, the offensive coordinator. They've replaced him with the quarterback coach. And the offensive numbers look very strong over the past few seasons for the Steelers. But I think what pushed it over the edge and why they need a change was definitely that playoff game against Jacksonville. The fourth down calls, you had 2 4th-and-1s, and you run a pitch out to the right, and it loses 5. So that's a horrifying play call by Haley. That you should be fired for that immediately. Then you have another 4th-and-1. You get a chance to redeem yourself, and you have the biggest quarterback in the league at 6'5", probably 250. The guy's an animal. And you don't quarterback sneak. You decide to run, I don't even know.
They drop back to throw
some slant across the middle to Juju. Probably held, but no call there. They were very, not a lot of flags that game at all. So you can't expect a call there. And so you're 0-for-2 on 4th-and-1s, and that's really what it came down to. The defensive performance, heartless. I mean,
still Mike Tomlin gets a pass.
Unbelievable. And, I mean, Doxie just said Tomlin gets a pass, and I've been talking about this all week. Every single coach should be fired off the roster. Keith Butler should be fired. The guy gave up 45 points at home. I understand you don't have your linebacker, your best player, Shazier, who's in a wheelchair, but he could have made more tackles than half these guys on the roster. I mean, come on already. And this guy Tomlin, I play Madden. We play Madden. We could be better time managers than that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, definitely. We got some world-class Madden 18 clock managers here.
Yeah, absolutely. And me and Doug have also had some world-class matches on Madden in these past few months.
I believe we're tied.
I believe so. Yeah.
We'll have to get that other game in there.
Yeah, the rubber match.
And Doug, you got your
maybe wish. Maybe we'll do a live broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
You got your wish with Haley gone. Now he's a candidate for the Jets offensive coordinator job. Now that John Morton's gone, not a huge fan of the decision, but had something to do with his relationship with head coach Todd Bowles and his relationships with the players. So it was a ownership decision, front office decision. Have faith in the rebuild.
You know what they're saying with it is you want to maintain consistency. You know, the Jets, I think this is their third time firing an offensive coordinator in recent years. But you want to maintain consistency. But when you're changing your quarterback, like maybe it'll be McCown for another year, but that's just another transition year then. When you're changing your quarterback, I really don't think that matters too much. You know, you're getting a clean house anyway. So, I mean, I personally didn't have many problems with play calling or anything this year offensively. And with the talent that was on that offense, it was decent production. But I'm not for it. I'm not against it in any way, really. I'm kind of indifferent.
Are we going to talk about the crazy Vikings finish?
Of course we are.
Yeah, we're getting to it.
Maryland product, Stephon Diggs, if you did not catch it, final seconds, made an outstanding leaping grab. Tough one for the safety, the rookie safety Williams, tried to make a tackle. Just flat out missed. And Diggs was down the sideline, and he was in for a touchdown. Pooj, here's your question. You can ask the question now because we heard it.
Would you cut him?
No, he's a rookie.
Absolutely not.
He was NFL all rookie team.
He was an excellent
rookie.
He made
a bad decision. I mean, it happens in everyone's careers, usually multiple times, and it just happened to be bad timing, and it led the Vikings to one of their greatest wins in franchise history and the only walk-off touchdown in postseason history.
Now we got quarter.
Wow, great work.
Now we got this marquee matchup between Nick Foles and Case Keenum.
Let me just say that this is kind of a this is very deserving to the NFL that they could have had Drew Brees, they could have had Ben Roethlisberger, and they could have had Matt Ryan and Tom Brady, but instead they're stuck with Nick Foles, Case Keenum, Blake Bortles, and Tom Brady.
So you know, I think
this is what they deserve.
I think the Jags, I'm going to say it here now, I think they're beating the Patriots on Sunday.
I mean, I was talking to Ben about this earlier. I think that they match up well with them. I wouldn't expect it to happen, but I wouldn't be necessarily shocked if it happened.
Denver beat them with less. Jags have the same formula. They have a better run game than Denver
did. It's a formula that can
Peyton
work,
Manning
but
was
I'm
old.
Not sure if it's going to work.
Blake Bortles, if he plays
well,
doesn't
team.
Turn
yeah,
the
it's
ball
a different
over.
Team. It's two different teams. Yeah.
They're the same team. They both had outstanding defenses that they were led by, and that's how they both won.
Right.
But you're talking about a Broncos win from 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, it's
yeah,
but it's a completely different Patriots team. They got a different O-line. They got a different
defense. They
still
got Brady and Belichick. It's the same Patriots team.
Exactly. So that's a winning formula.
It is a winning formula.
What tells
us they lost that game? They lost that game again because they've shown that if you have a great defense, you can run the ball and don't turn the ball over, you can win.
Yeah, they can
win. And I
think
the Jags defense is better than that Denver defense.
I do too. It might be, but it's not that simple. It's not that simple. It's not like because Denver did it, Jacksonville's going to do it. It's Denver did it, cool. Maybe Jacksonville could do it also. But I'm not going to count Jacksonville out like a lot of people are, but they beat the Steelers. Anything could happen. They went into Heinz Field and beat the Steelers. So they... If they can go into Foxborough and beat New England,
can we talk about something for a sec? It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They haven't been better than a bottom five team in 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, well,
and now you're saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes, because
Brady and they're
in the AFC Championship.
It's called drafting and free agents. If you could do well in both categories, you have a chance to be successful. Bortles is good enough. He's not great.
Fournette's
a
stud.
He gets criticized. He's not great. But he gets the job done, and they have the best defense in the league. Ngakoue, one of my boys, love the guy. Calais Campbell. They have great linebackers, and they have arguably two of the best corners in the league. And Church is still there in the safety, and they're a pretty solid. They're the best team on defense in the NFL. And I don't see New England's offense. It's not great. They've just got Brady, and when you have Brady, it's tough to go against the guy. The guy's a winner. He's probably the best quarterback to ever suit up in the NFL, and I don't know. I can't go against him.
I'm not going to go on air and say that the Patriots are going to lose to the Jaguars, but I am going to go on air and say that don't count it out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Pooj was saying, I never thought of this comparison before, but when Pooj was saying that the Jaguars were bottom five for the last 6, 7 years, whatever it was, it's almost like the Jets when they went into Foxborough and beat the Patriots in 2010, I think it was.
Yesterday or the day before, I was watching constant highlights of that game.
Yeah, it's a similar formula, a similar makeup of the team. Mark Sanchez, not a great quarterback. You got the Jets had one of the best defenses in the league then. And
a bruising running back, too.
Yeah, and that was a huge upset by the Jets and the
Who
Patriots.
Was that running back? Is that Sean Green?
That was Sean
Green.
Green.
And they had, like, they had LaDainian Tomlinson also. Right.
Oh, really?
People forget that.
But so, Green had an excellent game in that divisional round matchup.
So, I just want to make sure I get credit because I would have picked I picked the Jags to beat the Steelers. And I think the Jags are going to beat the Patriots.
Congratulations.
So I want credit
for
that.
We're going to be back Thursday for another podcast, of course. And we're going to come back and we're going to go over and analyze the two games, of course. And we're going to pinpoint different plays throughout the game. But there's one thing to really remember here, especially on the play in the Vikings-Saint game. It's not about one play that changes the whole game or that determines the outcome. There are plays that happen in the first quarter that people just forget about. So when Puig asked if the guy's going to get cut, you can't, although it's the biggest play of the game, there's still other things that could have happened. They could have went three and out. They could have had a great field position, turned the ball over. There's all these different things that could have happened. You can't just blame one guy or one play for the outcome of the game.
And another thing, I don't think the Saints, I don't think anybody considered cutting Marcus Williams. He's what? Not Marcus. That's
yeah,
it.
Marcus
Is that
Williams.
Marcus Williams. I don't think anyone considered cutting him. He's one of the top. He's one of the top rookies this season on defense. So he's got a bright future ahead of him. Hopefully he can move past this, and I'm sure he will, and I'm sure he'll end up having a good career. So I don't think anybody considered really cutting him.
And you got to feel bad for the guy because people are trashing the guy all over social media. And you got to have some sympathy, maybe even empathy for this guy who is a rookie, had a great season, and made a mistake. So I think we've exhausted the topic, and we're going to move on to the producer question with Mike Garafa.
Oh, all right. Pretty much the only thing that's on my mind at the moment is what are your thoughts on the Gerrit Cole trade? Because I know that you, Doug, were a little upset about that. What do you think about it?
Well, first off, great trade for the Astros.
Oh, this is baseball?
Yes. Goodbye. Yes, goodbye. Goodbye, Matty. Goodbye, buddy.
Adios.
Good deal for the Astros, obviously solidifying their big three in their staff. You got Dallas Keuchel, you got Justin Verlander, and now you got Gerrit Cole. I haven't watched much of Gerrit Cole play because he's in the National League, but I've seen some highlights. He's obviously considered a top two or three pitcher, an ace on a lot of teams.
Yeah, two, 3 years ago, he was a Cy Young candidate.
No, I'm saying top two or three pitchers on like in a rotation.
Absolutely.
An ace on most teams in the leagues. And as a Yankee fan, I'm happy we didn't make the trade. One, because I think you have talent in the minors with Chance Adams and Justice Sheffield. You got to let that develop. And you want to see Jordan Montgomery develop too. I mean, he didn't have a perfect rookie season, but he was only a rookie. I think he has some stuff to work on. I think he can definitely improve on that. And also, the big thing with the Gerrit Cole trade, we're going to give up Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier's my boy.
I know
I didn't want to give up Brett Thunder.
I know you love Clint. So this guy, Cole, has a 3 ERA.
Like a 3.2 probably.
In the NL.
Yeah.
So think about it, that's one less hitter, really, because the pitcher hits in the NL. So you have one less hitter and the guy has a 3 ERA. I'm stoked that the Yankees did not make that trade.
What?
One, I understand that we have a lot of depth in the outfield, but I think you could save Clint as another piece. I know you love the guy with a passion, Ben. I know you do. But you could use him in another piece. I don't like Cole at all. He might be great for the Astros. I just am really happy that the Yankees didn't make the trade. And just to report, Yu Darvish is still in the mix there. And the guy has ace stuff. So if you look at the rotation for the Yanks right now, you have Seve, Tanaka, Gray, Sabathia, and Montgomery, correct?
Yeah, I don't want Yu Darvish, honestly. I saw him in the playoffs last year. Didn't impress me. I don't think he's essential.
I don't think that the Yankees need to go out and sign a pitcher right now.
Yeah.
I think their pitching staff's all right, and I wouldn't be stoked that they didn't go out and trade for Cole.
Oh, I am.
But
of course you are.
I would definitely think that they can also get something maybe a little better for Clint Frazier and another piece, but I'm indifferent on this. It could have gone either way.
I mean, you're wearing an Astro shirt as we speak, so clearly you're pretty excited about the trade for a guy with a 3 RA in the NL.
Can I just bring up the fact that the Astros rotation now is like the best in baseball almost?
False.
I mean, you've got Dallas Keuchel, Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole. Charlie Morton was apparently a stud now based on his postseason performance.
You got McCullers in there, too.
Yeah, McCullers, too.
Yeah, that's a really great rotation.
That's better than the Mets' potential rotation. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's absolutely fantastic. It's better than anything I've seen since maybe the Braves when they had Koufax and – or wait, no, that's not – I don't know. But back when the Braves had their amazing rotation. Yeah.
I think the Hills West Colts have the best rotation in baseball. Right now, they've got some potential guys in the JV area. Could be called up this year. We'll see. We're still a ways away. Just predicting the future here. Mm-hmm. Getting school sports involved. I know Mr. Rashudi loves it.
But I do have a question for you, Garofalo. So there were reports that the Mets declined Andrew McCutchen for Brandon Nimmo. What are your thoughts there?
Well,
I'm not too happy about that.
Makes me want to just go to Sandy Alderson's house and like just yell in his face, because I think that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life, that they didn't trade Brandon Nimmo for Andrew McCutchen. I mean, honestly, you've got Andrew McCutchen, who's won the MVP like at least once. I don't know if he's won it twice. I know he won it once. And you've got Brandon Nimmo, who hasn't hit above 300. Yeah, I know he's got potential, but he's not going to start. We've got Cespedes, Bruce, and Conforto. What's the point of having him on the team when we could have Andrew McCutchen? I mean, there's
no Lagares. Don't forget Laggy.
Yeah, but they're probably going to trade him anyway.
No, Lagares is probably just going to like hurt his hand or something.
Yeah, but like we don't need Nimmo. There's absolutely no point in keeping him. But the fact that they're discussing a Harrison for Nimmo trade just baffles me even more. Why
is there any discussion? Harrison for Nimmo, done.
I know. Like, honestly, I'd love to see Harrison for Nimmo, but the fact that they didn't even like consider the McCutchen trade, they're stupid.
If I was Sandy Alderson and I get a call from Pittsburgh's GM and they say, I'll give you Andrew McCutchen for Brandon Nimmo, I would put the phone on hold, laugh for about 20 minutes, but take the phone off hold and say, absolutely, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how this could possibly...
It doesn't make any
sense.
There's
got to be a missing piece in this report.
Yeah,
somewhere.
There's got to be.
There has to be.
They probably wouldn't have taken all of McCutchen's salary. They probably would have made the Mets take it all, which is the main problem.
I'd pay for it. I'd still do it.
I'd like Harrison to play second base this year, or third
for the
Yanks.
Yeah.
Plug him right in.
I'm all in for that. So, that'll do it for us today. As always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ricciuti, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education. Our audience listens every Thursday. Today's producers, Pooj, Garofa, and a special shout-out to Marcus Fraser for joining us today. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside Matt Gold, Brian Flatow, and Douglas Tuca. We will see you next week.
We love you all. Broadcast Tuesday and Wednesday.